7:08 in the morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm dry. I got in here before. Well, I kind of timed it between the weather bands when I came in this morning. Before we go anywhere with the show, sorry, I do want to talk to anybody who's out there listening right now. Be careful with the weather that we got coming. So there's going to be some periods of very heavy rain today, and we've had rain for, it feels like forever, but for just a couple of weeks now, we've had some very wet weather. There's only so much the ground can hold, so if we get some strong downpours, there's the chance that there will be flooding. So for anybody who's looking to get on the road or has to be outside, I would say be patient. And if you see water on the road, you got to assume that it's a little bit deeper than you think. So take your time. And also, we've got some heavy winds and lightning that looks like it'll be present this afternoon. So be careful when you guys are out there. And if you see one of those heavy bands coming through, if you can avoid going outside, I would say avoid going outside for a little bit and let them pass. I think we've all seen over the past couple days, bunch of heavy rain comes up and then it'll just kind of clear up and it gets a little bit calmer. So if you can time it, time it. If you got to be outside, though, please make sure that you take precautions to stay safe in the rain and the winds.
And hopefully that we'll have our guests, you know, avoid a lot of that rain as well. We don't want them to be, like, stuck inside most of the time. They can't enjoy, like, the beautiful Rota area.
Yeah. We do have some people visiting here right now. We have a team from Navy Installations Command out in Washington, D.C., and from the region in Naples who are here to visit us as part of our final evaluation problem. And this is probably the biggest inspection or assessment that an installation can have. They're coming here to take a look at our ability to provide for the safety and security of all of our residents, our ability to react to different types of emergencies or situations. They've been here since, I think they got here Sunday, and they've been looking at us since Monday. Today is kind of the culmination of that visit, where we have our integrated training team problem. So for anybody who works down by the piers, please be a little bit patient this morning as we run some of those drills. We will be shutting down pier access for about 5 minutes as we hit those drills. I appreciate the patience, and I appreciate everybody on the installation supporting us with all this. A lot of hard work with our fire and emergency services, our emergency management, the training team, but a lot of the focus is on our naval security forces. Some of our youngest and most motivated sailors are under the most pressure right now with that inspection. They're performing wonderfully. So those guys are just kind of kicking butt with this inspection, and I'm glad we had the chance to show off just how good they are.
Honestly, yes. I know my friends over in Port Ops, they've been talking about it over at the Second Class Association. They're just like, yeah, I'm going to be stuck doing some training and some drills, so feel free to have a meeting without me. And it's like, cool. Yeah, stay dry.
These drills are great because even when we do really well, there's so much experience coming with those teams. They can kind of help us shape the way that we plan those drills or give us some techniques for how we execute those things, and it makes us better. So we're getting better even though we're doing really well on this inspection. They've got folks who've been doing security for 30-plus years. We have a CW05, so there's a unicorn walking this base right now. So for any sailors out there who are interested in what it takes to become a CW05, if you see this guy, stop him and talk to him. Figure out how he got there. We have an LDO captain who's walking this base, another unicorn. You know, talk to these guys, see how they got to where they are, and take a look at how you can plan your career out.
You know, a lot of people, when you just, like, gave out that acronym, they don't know that's a chief warrant officer. Yeah. Like, you've seen it in boot camp. You know, you've seen the little tab with the little bar with a bunch of stripes.
Yep.
Like, I'll never see one of those. And it's like, you're probably right, but when you do.
Yeah, those guys are, the wealth of experience that they have and knowledge is just astonishing.
Now, they are the experts in their field.
They really are, yeah. So we got FEP. That's what we got this week. And then next week, we have a couple of distinguished visitors coming our way. So 6th Fleet is going to come join us here. And that'll be his first chance to see the way that the core of his surface forces live and prepare to go to work. In addition, we're going to have a staff del here. So it's a staff delegation is a group of professional staffers who work with Congress. And they... So members of Congress, you know, every 6 or 2 years, they hold an election that they have to compete for the chance to stay in those positions. Professional staffers stay the entire time. So regardless of who's in those seats, the professional staffers are the ones who have the institutional knowledge for how those programs or those different parts of the committees that they are a member of, what they look at long term to make sure that we have a vision over the long term for how we implement some of those things. So the House Armed Services Committee for Sea Power Forces and Projection, that's the staff del that these folks are a part of. So it's a good chance for us, again, to show off how we take care of and how our operational forces are employed from what I think is the most important strategic base in all of Europe. So all these chances to show off Rota. I hope the weather breaks just a little bit so they get to take advantage of all that there is for us here in Rota. But a lot of good stuff.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I'm excited that we're going to be probably following up with them. Maybe we'll get them on the radio, too, to pick their brains for like 30 minutes.
Man, their schedules are so packed.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, the folks having to put those together, it's a challenge, having to notch in all those different pieces and visits. It's impressive just how much information both somebody like a fleet commander, so for nobody who's, if you haven't had the chance to see the way a three-star admiral operates, it's often eye-watering. The information that they take in, the way that they're able to assimilate it and then make important, impactful, and long-lasting decisions, it's incredible. And the good ones are just absolutely amazing at it. And then Staffdels, with their breadth of knowledge, with what they understand happens behind the scenes in the halls of Congress, having a conversation with them it's eye-watering and often quite intimidating because you understand just how much influence they wield in those halls. But it's cool. It'll be another good chance to show us off.
And you know who else is going to show us off? We have some more special guests who we're going to be introducing after a little bit of Ricky Martin. So make sure that you all stick around because they're coming from the nice DGF high schools. 718, and while I'm joined by the ICO, I'm also joined by two special guests from the DGF schools. Feel free to introduce yourselves. I know it's a little shy, but we'll get you on the radio.
Sure, good morning. My name is Ken Kirk. I'm the elementary school principal.
And I'm Courtney Schoenfeld, and I'm the lucky principal at the middle high school.
It's good to have you two on. I feel like I haven't seen you ever since, I think, the STEM fair last year.
That would be correct, probably for the elementary school principal,
yeah.
Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my first time on the radio, so thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and I know you wanted to give us like a few updates about what's going on. We're going to be talking about a few things, but one of the things, you know, we want to start off is like your interest in the career. How did you get from where you were to here in Rota?
Yeah, sure. Well, I became interested in what I'm doing now early on. When I first started in this career path, I started off with the AmeriCorps, and I had volunteered for a nonprofit organization called Boys Hope, Girls Hope, which I also worked for 3 years. And I lived in a residential home taking care of inner-city youth in both Detroit, Michigan, and also Cincinnati, Ohio. And from there, I just loved working with kids and being a positive impact.
Wow, Ken, that's amazing. my journey really was, I started with DoDEA about 24 years ago as a student teacher, and I just fell in love with our mission and all of the work that we do to support military families, our military students. It's just really essential. So I started out as a classroom teacher, worked as a coach, and as an administrator, and I just love it. It's the best job.
So you've gone through the whole listing of each and every job in the school.
Yeah.
Now you're happy, finally making it to the top.
I love it.
It's very good.
When you started out, when you guys both started out with this, is being part of the administration something that you were looking to, or is it just kind of the natural progression as you look for ways to have an impact at different levels?
I certainly didn't think I want to be a principal one day. You know, I love teaching. I think it's the work that our teachers do is just so impactful, and what they, what they give to our students every day is fascinating, really. But the work that we do, like, I feel like my job is to support teachers to do the important work that they do for children. And that's kind of where I see my role.
Yeah, and I never ever thought I would ever be a principal. That was never something that was on my radar. Sometimes the things you do kind of search you out, and I think that was probably true for both of us. And but when I got into the schools, originally I was a school psychologist, and then and you grow your family and you look for different career opportunities to support them, and school leadership was an opportunity. And when I got into DoDEA as a school psychologist, that just kind of naturally led to where I am now.
Well, so it's interesting. My mom was a teacher. She was a first grade teacher. And now as I watch my kids and the way that they interact with with their friends. I don't really see them in the classroom, but the immense amount of patience that teachers have in working with kids who have such an endless supply of energy and are looking for direction, looking for the chance to learn something new. And you said a psychologist. And I'm nowhere near smart on that kind of stuff, but watching the way teachers have to manage the burgeoning emotions and the growth in all aspects of a kid, it's how challenging was that as you guys worked with kids? So I'm sorry, what level did you teach at? What grades did you teach?
I mostly taught elementary school,
okay,
and also a little bit of middle school, but most of my time was spent with the really young kids, teaching them the foundations of reading and things like that. And yes, they have boundless energy. Even our high school kids have boundless energy.
Sure.
But I think the patience comes from just this deep passion of what we're doing. You know, education is the greatest gift that we can give our children. And all of our teachers recognize the impact and the influence that they have on our young people, and they take their work very seriously, and they do a tremendous job with it.
That's great. Yeah.
And kind of off that, you know, I'm always inspired by our teachers and the amount of energy and time that they spend, not only preparing for the learning that goes on into the classrooms, but, you know, forming these kids as adults. And it takes a lot of energy. They put a lot of heart into it. And just the time commitment is just amazing.
Yeah. It is. So you were saying education is one of the greatest gift we can give to our kids. With books, So I'm forming this question. I'm building the airplane as I fly it right now. I'm forming this question as I kind of say it out loud.
That all the time.
But I know when in my capacity as an officer and a member of the Navy, I have certain books that I love to read. And then as a person who's just a person, I have certain books that I like to read. When you work with kids, were there favorite books that you had to expose kids to, the chance to get them to learn things? And then what kind of stuff do you guys enjoy like reading and diving into when you're away from school? I know you guys don't have a lot of time away from school, but do you get the chance to just kind of separate a little bit from the work? And what do you guys do? What do you guys look at and read and do for fun?
Well, as a former literacy specialist, I can talk about books all day long. But I think that books are really, they have such power to teach our children about empathy, compassion, different aspects of the world, taking our children into places that perhaps they might not see, or giving them just maybe a different balcony view of other ways people live. So there's a lot of power in the books that we read with our children and what we expose them to. Like you said, we don't get a whole lot of extra time, but if I have extra time, I definitely read. I can just devour a couple of books a week. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I like reading books that kind of speak to the current issues that our kids face and also families and parenting, and also as a parent as well, too. You know, it kind of opens up a view into what is currently going on and ways that we can better support kids and also ourselves. And
I just recently, maybe not recently, but I've reread it, a book called The Anxious Generation.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
And I cannot say enough how I wish every parent would read it. It really talks about how our children are struggling with anxiety and a lot of the reasons behind that. There's also a lot of information about cell phones and how social media and the impact of those things have on our children and their developing young brains. So it's definitely something I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was going to piggyback off that. Yeah. When you were mentioning books that we read, The Anxious Generation was a book that popped into my head as well, too. Yeah. It was one book I read this summer. And just like Dr. Schoenfeld had mentioned, it just speaks to parenting and how parents parent their children these days versus maybe how it was, 20, 30 years ago. And, just the opportunities our kids had 20, 30 years ago had made them more resilient compared to some of the parenting techniques and us kind of sheltering children and not giving them those opportunities to grow.
Yeah. So the opportunities or challenges,
yes.
Right? The,
yes.
the ways that we can get ourselves in trouble and get ourselves out of trouble
right.
kind of stuff.
Yeah. Navigating those things.
Well, what's interesting to me when you mentioned the anxious generation is I've had flag officers recommend mm-hmm. that to leaders as well. And it's fascinating to me. And the more I'm in this job, the more I learn about all the other aspects of communities that affect the way our sailors and our service members live and work and ways that we can reach out to them. So the bridge between what you guys work with and the way that you shape children and what we have as young sailors who for the first time get away from home and are burdened with responsibilities that they never really had to manage as kids going through high school. It's interesting to me that that is a book that has been mentioned at so many different
yes.
levels of the development of a person.
Right.
That's
and,
fascinating.
And I think that what it speaks to, that book, was about, you know, conflict mm-hmm. is a good thing early on. And as kids grow up nowadays, they don't have the experience to have some of those conflicts and some of those challenges to kind of navigate on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we live in a society now where everyone wants to intervene and help that child, but there's a productive struggle that children and adults have to go through to be productive adults later on to solve issues. And the book kind of speaks to that. And it's kind of like a diamond, you know, being formed. Like there has to be some pressure points at certain points of development for something beautiful to come out of it. And that's even for trees that are growing up that need to be exposed to wind and
yeah,
the environments.
Yeah.
And just to like kind of piggyback off of that, right? We're looking at like the end of the school year is coming up. We're 2/3 of the way through. I think that's what our student volunteers are telling
no,
us.
This is
wow.
this year is going by so ridiculously fast.
I know we're coming up on the giant milestones, and we also want to talk about like what's upcoming. I know the month of the military child is coming up here in April. We're gonna be doing a lot of great fun events, but we want to hear what's happening over at the schools as well. Like, do we have any upcoming employment programs for our seniors who are leaving and going off into the big, scary world? What's coming up next?
Well, we definitely, every day is busy on our campus, but we do have a lot of events coming up. We do have our teen resume and interview workshop coming up on March 13th and 19th. We have lots of Month of the Military Child
yes.
activities. You want to speak to a little
yeah,
bit about
sure.
That?
At the elementary school, we have the STEAM, the STEM Expo that's coming up at the end of April. That's a huge event that we have, and we partnered up with people in different capacities across the base. They come in. We have different activities for families to be involved with that event. At the very end of the year, we have Field Day coming up on the 28th, and that's a big event.
I love Field Day.
Yeah,
I think
Field
that
Day
is so much fun.
Yeah, the kids have fun. You know, the great thing about all these activities at the elementary school, our PTSD is always involved in
yeah.
some capacity, contributing to that. And I know that we mentioned the Month of the Military Child. You know, we have a couple events with that on our campus, and so we're excited to celebrate the military
things,
child.
Yeah. And at the middle high school, we have a middle school dance coming up on the 21st. Of March, which will be always a good time for the kids, right? tomorrow is March 14th, so it's Pi Day.
Pi Day, yes.
So the kids are quite excited because the teachers have arranged this little program where they have like math work to do, and if they win the prize, they actually get to pie the principals. So
that's cool.
Tomorrow during lunch, the kids are going to get to have. Get to eat some pie and also throw some pie at me and Mr. Guskowski. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah. That's cool. So, Mr. Guskowski, it's funny. I see him every morning as
yeah.
I'm driving to school. He's it doesn't matter how bad the weather is. It doesn't
he's
matter how
there.
Dark it is.
Yeah.
He's out there with this huge smile
yeah.
as he's helping kids cross yeah. there. So I know you were really happy to get your vice principal
yes,
here this
yes.
year.
Yeah, we have Ms. Rodriguez. She's our new assistant principal at the elementary school. And because of the huge increase of students, last
yeah.
year we were about at 430 students. Now we're approaching nearly 600. We were
incredible.
Able to add another principal there. So Ms. Rodriguez is definitely a huge help and benefit and just supporting our teachers and our students.
That's cool.
It's actually very exciting. I know our school liaison's officer, Randy, he's going to be coming by a little bit later, too, to like go over some of these topics. Like, we've been trying to get more volunteers for a lot of these programs. Field Day is definitely one of the big ones. I know here in April we have Purple Up Day is one of the other big ones we've been talking about. And I think there's a little bit more information to come on that. But for right now, we're going to take a little bit of a musical break, gather our thoughts, and, of course, enjoy a little bit of music selected from our DGF schools. We actually have Kendrick Lamar talking about love. 7:35, and we are back, continuing on, looking up at some activities going on for the month of the military child. What's coming up in April? I know we're only halfway through this month, really, but time goes by very quickly.
March will be done quickly. Yeah, I'm sure of that. So, but April is month of the military child. This is one that's really important to me. Growing up as a child of a service member, and now being the parent of two kids as an active duty service member. But what does it mean for us over at the school? How do you guys celebrate? What are you guys helping the kids understand as part of this?
Well, the month of the military child is definitely one of my favorite months of the school year. I mean, that's why we exist, Dodea Schools. And so, you know, every year we do this. We keep on expanding things that we're doing at the school. And so we're coming straight off spring break. And on April 9th is the official Dodea Purple Up Day. I know both schools are selling T-shirts to celebrate that day. And then on that day, everyone wears purple. Mm-hmm. The past several years, the elementary and the middle school, high school have partnered up to do a morning event with all of our students. And so we kind of collect them all together in our courtyard. And we have a program available for them for about 30 minutes to get them all kind of pumped up. And so I know that for the elementary side, we have students from every grade level kind of share their experiences. You know, and the principals at the elementary side will be kind of being pied or maybe purpled up in some fashion.
Can't wait for that.
It's your turn. Yeah. And then we'll kind of, you know, I know the middle school, high school has some things planned too.
Yeah, we do. We are planning a little bit like a clap in. So when kids come in, you know, a little bit like the red carpet, where we can really celebrate the kids, make sure that they know how much we care about them. I think the most important thing is just knowing, just that they know that we see them and that we care so much about them and that we recognize the challenges that they face as a military child, with frequent moves, you know, making new friends. So the day itself is really about noticing our kids and celebrating all that they do, all that they go through, and just their resilience. It's huge.
Yeah,
you know?
that's something I wanted to talk about. So going back to what we were talking about earlier with the anxious generation, and you'd mentioned conflict and how kids have to go through conflict to build some of that resiliency. And I think, for good or for bad, our military kids face that constantly.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, at least, the conflict isn't necessarily an interpersonal conflict, but there are internal conflicts that they have to work through as well. And every time you uproot a kid, take them out of a familiar environment and place them in a new environment, which I'm about to do to my kids as we move around the world to a new place, I think it forces them to work through some issues on the inside. But that's a very layman perspective on it. I don't know if you guys see the same thing as those kids try and integrate the different things that they have to work through. I'm sure it's present, but how much do you see that? How do we help kids as they work through those things? Yeah,
we absolutely see it. I think, you know, as Mr. Kirk was saying, we have a tendency, I mean, myself even as a parent, to want to intervene. I want to help. I want to make sure that kids feel cared for.
Yeah, I just want to wrap my kids up every time I see it.
But there is a point where we do have to let them struggle. And as the adults in their life, our teachers, our counselors, everybody involved in the school, it's our job to mentor them, give them the tools to be successful in challenge, give them the tools to be successful in conflict, in anything that can be uncomfortable, because they're going to face challenging situations. Yeah. It's what they do at that moment that, you know, shows their integrity, their character, and how, and the choices that they make. So we can't just swoop in and save them as much as we want to, you know, to protect them. We want to be alongside them and help them make good choices that will benefit them in the future.
And I think lots of times we look at this adversity as something negative, but our children have such great opportunity, being a military-connected child, opportunities that other children don't have. And if we fail to provide them that opportunity to grow, you know, we've missed a huge opportunity in general. And, you know, the part of parenting that's really hard is that we want to keep our kids as little children that we've loved. But it's all about gradual release.
True.
You know, our job as parents is to launch our children to be independent adults. Mm-hmm. And part of that is letting go slowly and realizing that they can figure this out, you know, along the way. And and there are adults that are present besides parents when they're at school to help guide them along.
Right.
And it's that partnership between parents and school and any other community adults that may be involved in your child's life. They play a really key role. But one of the biggest roles that kids have, too, in all this are the children that they're around. Mm-hmm. And so other children are teaching your child to grow up, too. And there was a book written about 20 years ago. It was called The Nature versus Nurture Assumption.
Yeah.
And it was a huge research study about, you know, who has more influence on your child, the parent or the other children. Mm-hmm. And what they found out is that early on the parent does, but as soon as they start integrating into the social life of other kids, the kids that they're around have more influence on your child than actually the parent does. And that's hard to say because parents, we want to say we have the biggest influence.
I am the most important thing in my kid's life, always. Yeah.
But the one thing that parents do have control over is sometimes the children that your children are around.
Yeah.
So it's really important, you know, as your children grow up to realize, you know, it's that let go process is a hard thing.
Yeah. And I think one of the advantages that we have as members of the military community, whether that's in uniform or out of uniform, is the incredible diversity that we see in the schools here. And it's not necessarily the diversity that we always think of when that word comes out, but the backgrounds, the experiences, where people have been, the different cultures they've been exposed to, all of those coming together in these incredible young men and women. So I know when we go to the next duty station, both of my kids are going to be exposed. Well, they're going to be surrounded by kids who have gone through the same thing that they have. And I think that's a very powerful thing, too, to be able to connect with somebody who is empathetic because they've been there as well. But also to be exposed to a completely new set of ideas and perspectives that those kids bring with them. So it's, knowing that my kids' friends are a bigger influence on them as that sliding scale, as my part starts to diminish and theirs starts to grow. One of the comforts in being part of the community here is I trust that those kids are all for, on the whole, there's a bunch of really good kids that are walking that campus.
And that's what I was going to say, you know, thinking about this, like we have great kids in our schools.
Yep.
We have great kids in the elementary schools, wonderful kids in the middle school, high school. And I know that the children that the kids are surrounded with are positive influences with their growth.
Yeah. But they're all changing. I mean, they're, you know, kids are going to make goofy mistakes, right? I mean, all kids are going to make goofy mistakes.
Yeah.
I think it's just important, you know, just as we've been saying, to help guide them through those mistakes and mentor them along the way and let them fall a little bit and just be there when they need us.
Yeah, help them dust them off when they need it. Yeah,
exactly.
And I think one of the reasons there's so many good kids on the campus, we have parents who have often been through some of those same situations. I grew up in the military. Statistically, if you're a member of the military, there's a really good chance that you grew up in the military. So the parents being involved, the parents being understanding what our kids are going through, I think the community that we have as a whole is just, it's incredible here. I think that we're really lucky here. And I've joked that for 24 years, I never really paid a lot of attention to all the stuff that happens around us in the military, but having the chance to be exposed to what you guys do, to the impact that the school has, and watching the parents and how involved the parents are and how much they care, it's a gift that I don't think you find throughout the United States. We're very lucky specifically here, but I imagine it's the same in much of Dodea, but we're really lucky to have the kids and the parents who are so involved and passionate about the way their kids are developing.
Really, I mean, community is everything.
Yeah.
Making sure that we have, you know, it takes more than just one person. You know, as Ken was saying, the influence that other children have on our kids. So it's not just about us, right? It's about the other children. It's about the other families. Yeah. It's about our community. And community involvement in our school is critical.
Yeah.
You keep talking about, like, the peer-to-peer actions. Like, even as adults, we still care about, like, what our peers think about us. Yep. We want to, like, we're trying to appease them socially. That's what they're probably doing as teenagers, too. And it's like, well, we don't need mom and dad. We need our new group of friends because those are the people I'm going to be spending, you know, the next 4 years with, or 3 years, or however long you're going to be. Yeah,
social dynamics is a pretty terrifying thing on the whole.
True. Speaking a little bit on the social dynamics, we're actually going to switch it up just a little bit to see how much of that peer knowledge has kind of rolled over, because we're going to be doing Are You Smarter Than a Principal? And
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Well,
I am not.
Luckily, we're going to make it very easy and very simple because we're going to start off with math. Everybody's
math.
Favorite subject. It's literally the biggest reason I'm...
Pythagoras. That's my final answer.
Pythagoras theorem. I remember that one. But the big one is, what prime numbers and what are they, and what are the first three numbers?
First three prime numbers?
First three prime numbers.
3, 7, 11.
Ooh.
No, five. That means five.
Ooh. Sorry, so close. So close. Yes. Anyone? First three.
Is it 1, 3, 5?
Might be.
What did you say?
1, 3, 5? Is it final answer?
Yeah.
It's 2, 3, 5.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're all not smarter than the principal.
It's okay. We got science up next, and we're keeping it simple with the periodic table.
Nope. I'm out. Sorry.
Already given up? Don't worry. It's the letter B. What does the letter B represent?
Borium.
You
just made that up. I don't know.
You were so close. It was boron.
Okay.
Borium is like sci-fi metal.
It is. Yeah. I'm just, yeah.
All right.
I got a degree in English. I'm saying that one right now.
I mean, if we want to look at English, that's one's up next.
Now I'm going to embarrass myself.
It's a simple one. It's a simple one. What's an adverb?
Oh, gosh. So a verb is an action.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
An adverb is... I don't know. I got a degree in English. I didn't get it in. Anyway.
We have our
an adverb. You guys know. You guys should be able to use this.
Like, an adverb is like clearly, for example.
Clearly.
Clearly an adverb.
Clearly an adverb.
It's clearly a verb.
It's just a word that modifies a verb. And, you know, like an adjective or another adverb is like very and like and likely. All right, up next is a little bit of history. And you know what? We have a little course on Navy history, so this should be a real easy point. What navies helped the United States win its independence?
What navies or nations? So France. I know Spain provided a lot of support, but I don't remember their specific naval involvement. I'm going to stick with those two, France and Spain.
All right. You want? There's one more. I'm willing to give you a chance to get a half point here.
Who are other powerful navies at the time?
It's the, one that
the Dutch.
You're not going to... Holland.
Yeah.
All right.
Holland was it. You also got Spain and France. Mm-hmm. But of course, for our final round, of course, we also have to cover Spanish while we're in Spain. And since I am not too well versed in it,
Tivo.
What is the verb for to rest?
Descansar.
Easy point.
Degree in English for him. My only points in Spanish. All right. That about sums up my naval career right there.
And I know we're coming up on summing things up with the top of the hour. We've got about 10 minutes left for our show, but I know there's still a little bit of information that we wanted to put out. I think we have some like scheduled power outages and also a town hall coming up.
Yeah, the town hall's way more important, yeah.
So I know you want to talk a little bit about that because you'll be attending.
Well, I will be hosting, yes.
So So what's going on over at the town hall? What should we know? And, of course, for people who don't know,
yeah,
dates
the,
and times.
So the town hall, it's going to be this Friday. It's following the Sevillanas lesson, so at 1300 over in La Plaza. I invite the community to bring any and every question that they might have concerning really anything. I'm open to talking about anything. So something on your mind, please come let me know what's on your mind, and I'm happy to have a conversation with you. If I have the answer, I'll give you the answer. If I don't, then I will do my best to find that answer for you. So the Sevillanas thing, that's pretty cool too. So we are getting close to Feria. So Feria de Primavera, it's my favorite time out in the community. Well, that's not fair because I love so many different parts of the year. This is one of the best times of the year out there because we get to go out to Feria and really be a part of the community and some of the coolest, most fun, biggest events that we have here in Rota and Puerto. There's huge events that we get to have, and it's a quintessential Southern Spain event. It's a whole lot of fun. So if you have the chance to come out to do those Sevillanas lessons, come out and do those Sevillanas lessons, then cool down, chill out for a little bit, and have a conversation with me. I'd love to talk to you all about what's going on. So with the power outages, I think we'll avoid that one right now because talking to the public works officer, I think that we are developing some innovative ways to execute the maintenance and the project management that we have to do while avoiding that power outage. So we had been talking about this with some of the tenant commands, but I think that we have a path ahead to not give ourselves a power outage. So there will be some more information that comes out about that in the next couple of weeks.
At a later time. Yeah. And is there anything coming out the schools? Any last things that you wanted to put out? Any programs?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, one of the month of the military child, on April 16th, we have the month of the military child family night. And that is kicked off at 4:45 with a free dinner for all families who attend. That's provided by the PTSA. We also then will have a Purple Up Kid Dance from 5:45 to 6:45. And at that same time, parents will then go to workshops. We have two back-to-back workshops that parents can choose from that they'll learn more about how they can support their child as a military-connected child. And then right after that, we have MWR that's hosting events at this school with the Imagination Movers. So it's a great evening. Parents can come out, get a free dinner. Kids can dance for an hour while the parents can get away from their kids. And really attend some really cool workshops. And then after that, they can join with their child and watch a beautiful show given by MWR. So that's on April 16th. More information will be pushed out to our families so they can come out that evening.
Yeah, check your emails. Check around the local area. Ask your fellow parents, you know. Like, you want to have the best opportunity for your kids. Come out for free food, too. We have a lot going on for March and especially for April, so make sure you stick around for that. But other than that, any last things? Any shout-outs you want to give?
So I will take this opportunity. I want to shout you guys out. I want to thank you guys for the leadership that you provide over in those schools. It's an immense amount of trust to basically hand our kids over for the majority of their waking hours to the schools and know that they are in a safe environment where they have the opportunity to make mistakes, where they have the opportunity to grow, to learn, to develop some of those skills that are going to help them over the rest of the course of their lives. So thank you guys for running such fantastic schools, for providing such a great environment for our kids.
And I would like to thank you for your leadership over the course of the last 3 years. It's always nice having commanding officers here who support our schools. And I was speaking with Dr. Schoenfeld on the way over. You know, the last three CEOs that I've had the privilege of working with have been great working with the schools, really supported us 100%. And I just really appreciate your support over the last 3 years, and we'll definitely miss you and your family.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's fun. It really is. Watching the kids do their thing and having the chance to be a part of it is an immense honor. Yeah.
And I just want to congratulate you for finishing your first time on the radio. I know this was a bit nerve-wracking, but I'm really glad you guys came out, gave us all this good information, and we're going to be putting out more as time goes on. But with the top of the hour coming right up, it's time we finish out it with something like a prayer. We got a Ben Madonna.